I want to start tonight just by with a bit of stealing. I want to just steal almost my starting blocks from a guy called Andy Stanley. Who's heard from him? He's got a lot of great stuff on relationship. You can get it. And he starts actually a sermon series with the same quote. And I thought this is brilliant. So let's quickly go to the next slide. He quotes a question that the character out of the movie Juno asks. If we can just go to that next slide. And I don't know who's seen that movie. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's good to watch it or not. I think it's a good quote. But this is the thing that Juno asks her dad. She asks, "Dad, I just need to know that it's possible for two people to stay happy together forever." And this is a question she asks. And what I like about that question is, isn't it the same question we all have? In one sense or another. You know, when we lie awake, when some of us grew up in homes and some of us parents knew how to have good fights, some of them knew how to have bad fights, some were loud. But maybe you remember at one time you lying awake at bed and your mom and dad, they're just having a good one tonight. They just very vocal. Can we sort the buzz, please? I know Warren just left, but I know there's something we can mute just to get the bees out of the building. Please. Just don't mute me, please. Just try and ignore it so long while they try and figure it out. And so you're lying in bed and mom and dad, they're having a good one, and you wonder, why did they even get married? You know, and in some houses, it's not a verbal confrontation that goes beyond, and she calls him something, and he loses his temper. And you wonder, did they ever love one another? How did they start? How did they start this thing? Were they in love at once? When did they stop loving one another? And, bees off, bees back. Thank you. That's better. And so here's the thing. No one starts off a marriage or a relationship in a place where they're not in love. We all start there. We have the hope. We're going to be in love forever. You know, we're just going to sing our way through the bad times. We're going to do great. You know, when it goes tough, lean on me when you're not strong. You know, I'll carry on. Stuff like that. You know, we have great plans. And we are filled with hope. It's a great thing. It's a good thing. But here's the thing. Where do people fall out of love again then? And that's the question Juno asks. Is it possible to have what we have in the beginning and keep it until the end? And somewhere in us, we know the answer is yes. We know it's yes. The question is just how. So how then? There's no way there'd be something like marriage, something, someone as beautiful as you inside and out. And there's no way that God will plan this whole thing that we will end up despising one another. That doesn't make sense. Agree with me? So how? What does good lovers do so that at the end they're holding hands and there's a relationship? You know, it's one thing you're married and you've got danger tape in the house. That's your part of the house, okay? Kitchen in half, everything in half. And you basically living under the same roof. That's not what we want, right? We want to be in love. We want to say, I've got a great marriage. So that's a question we want to answer tonight. The question that comes to mind so then is, why is there so many broken relationships today? And I just want to maybe just bounce through a few thoughts before we really just get to a 1, 2, and a 3, and a 4, all right? But if we look at our world today, it's a great place we live in. It's a great world, and there's many amazing things. But everything in our world is very fast if you compare it to how things was in the past, right? If you take, for example, finding information. Many years back, if you wanted information, you had to go to a library, find a book, open it, read it. Many years before that, you probably have to find the resourceful person, travel to that person, sit at his feet to gain information. Today, Google, done. Few seconds. Unlimited information, just like this. Think about food for a moment. A few hundred years back, you saw your food grow up before you eat it. Hello, Mia. Hello, Mia. Sissy, ail, booty, ail. Now eat ons vlees. Okay? It was a lifetime. It was a cycle of feeding, caring plants. You saw the plants grow. And when the meal at the end were on the table, there's, if it was not little Mia, I mean, there's some type of a, almost, I want to say you were proud for the food you produced because it's hard work. Today, if your mom makes pasta and you don't like the taste, 5 minutes KFC, thank you. Someone else dealt with the chickens, you just eat it. Where do you want to eat tonight? Do you want to do cappuccinos, spur? No, I'm tired of them. I had enough. Borsa, nah. We've got so much options. We're spoiled. We live in an instant world, and we do the same in our relationships. I check you out like you check a menu at KFC. Facebook profile, oh, she's... That's a cool goal. And in your mind, you've already decided what this person is going to be for you. There's going to be some spice on it with a bit of sauce on the side. You know, you've just figured this whole relationship out before you even really engage with this girl. You guys get into a relationship. Oh, it's not my type. You move on. It's happening. Am I right? It's where we are right now. So what does lovers do who love well? I'm not saying our world is bad. It's a great world. All I'm saying is let's be aware of the playing field we're on so that we can take the advantages and protect our heart also for the loopholes we do experience. Amen? But it's where we find ourselves. But what comes with this thing of I can go right now to any one of probably 20 places to get what I want to eat right now, it comes sometimes with a thing of entitlement. I can get what I want when I want it. And if you don't produce it to my liking, I will not pay for it. So the problem with the world we live in is we come out, and also a human rights movement, you've got a right. I mean, you can basically steal a whole house empty. You still have a whole lot of rights. No one can touch you. You know, that's the world we live in. I deserve. And that kills relationships with another human being. Because here's a problem. It's one thing if we joke about food and KFC and Nando's, but when it comes to two humans, I think I deserve the best, and you think you deserve the best. So you better perform, and I better perform, because that's the place where we come from. If not, gone. And so what has happened today, guys, and you must watch out for this, and we see this in the workplace, you see it in sport clubs and in relationships, is the tolerance for pain in today's life, it's very small. As soon as a relationship becomes the slight bit of challenge, I'm out of here. I'm checking out. And we see it in the sport first. Oh, I'm here. Like a rugby spiel. Oh, you're going to be responsible. Cheers. No, there's no capacity to see a challenge, work through it, and reap the rewards of consistency and endurance at the end. And that's what we are fighting for here this month. You can do very well if you allow God to change your heart and to equip you for what is coming. Are you excited? Do you agree with me so far? KFC? If you're from KFC? Nedek, okay. Right. So what are the things good lovers do? What is their secret? I want to answer a few tonight. I had to repent. This is one of those sermons. I type, I repent. Sorry, Lord, I'm not doing this. I go on. I think it's very funny, but I also miss that. Lord, forgive me for that. Fernanda, I hope Janae's in the toddler's room. Where's my wife? Oi, oi. Trouble. Any case. He's on a journey with all of us. Just quickly, for those of you that's visiting, I've been married almost 7 years now. with that beautiful woman over there and the loud, probably the naughtiest toddler in church, always happens to the pastor. Just when you think things are going well, your family is on the ground crying, you know, leaving cookies all over the place. I see there's one. Listen, if you see a cookie, you can eat it. It's just my boy. I have a lot to learn when it comes to marriage. Every year I learn. But just quickly, Junaid and I, we had a relationship when we were in high school. Thought we knew everything. Didn't listen to our parents or to other wise people. Messed one another up. Messed ourselves up. Really injured our own hearts. We didn't know God. And at the end of matric, we both met God. It was amazing. I know God can save lost people because here I am. And so we just knew this relationship. The only way to manage it is to not be close to one another. And we broke up. And in short, about 4 years later, we gave ourselves to discipleship. We were in a church like this. We did all the foundations. We were in small groups. We went on missions. Everything while being single. And God actually prepared our hearts. The plan was not that we would come back together again, but God ordained it that way. And I found a different Janae, and she found a different man. Our expectations of life were so much different. Jesus came and filled so many voids and provided so many answers to me that she no longer had to be for me. She could be Janae, in love with him. Same for me. So that's more or less our story. If you want the long romantic part of it, you can ask my wife. If you want the short funny part, you can ask me. It's depending on what you want. But not everything she says is true. Remember, the one thing she never admits is that she actually stalked me in those 4 years. She never. I'm only joking. Oh, I will get in trouble for that. So I want to start with a bit of a grammar lesson, and I'm actually very bad at it, but praise the Lord for Wikipedia. But let's just start off. This is Christ speaking to the disciples, and he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And this is talking about love, the love that God wants me to have towards Vessel as well, or to one another, as a church, or in your family, or as friends. But you can definitely take this and say, okay, God, but show me how to love my one significant other as well. You can do that. I don't think Scripture has a problem with that. And here's the cool thing. When I speak to my wife and I say, I love you, all right? That's a good thing to say, by the way, if you're married. You can say that as many times as you want, I've learned, all right? You don't have 1,000 and use it up. Just say you love her often. But do you know that when you say, I love you, or I love chocolate, okay, or I love sports cars, or the blow below, whatever you want, when you speak about it in that way, I feel something towards you, I esteem you in a certain way, I love you. Don't lose me. Now, the word love you use there is actually a noun, all right? A noun. So, Vicky Grammar. What that means is, a noun is a person, a place. When you say, I caught a big fright, it's also a noun. I love you, it's a noun. Do you agree, Stel? If you don't agree, shh. Okay. But here's the thing. Here's the cool thing. When Christ speaks here and he says, love one another, he's not talking about something you feel or experience towards another person. He's asking you to do something. So he's using the word love as a verb. Love on someone. Sometimes someone will say, that person was really kind to me. They loved on me. Whatever that means. Scripture says love is kind. Love is patient. Love is unselfish. You can love someone, verb. It's something you do. It's something they experience because you're there. So I can sit here and I can say, I love my wife, and it's true, as a noun, I love her, but God can ask me to act in love right now and go and help her with something. Love is also a verb. Are you with me? Something you do. Now, most of the time, you can do a scripture search. When scripture speaks of this, most of the time, it's love as a verb. Love one another. A new command that I give you. Love one another. All right? So here's a trick question. Not just trick, but here's the issue. So Christ, if you are married, who's married? Who's married in this place? A lot of married. We gaan amper hierdie jaar trou. Yay! Yippee, yippee. Okay. Now, Renier, when the word of God comes to you, okay, there's a scripture, the word is alive, right? This is true right now for you and for me. God says, go love your wife. The typical answer you will get in 7 the line is this, but I don't love her anymore. No. You're doing a noun. Go and love your wife. But I don't love her. No, you don't understand. I'm not talking about something you feel. I'm telling you, go and, I don't know, take out the trash, mopie vloer, verfie dak, whatever is love to her, go and be it. Love one another. I know this is one pastor in Shofar, and he used to say, people would come to him, they wanted an escape out of marriage. They'd say, I married the wrong person, pastor. And he just said, you love her until she's the right one. Done. It's not how you feel. You just get stuck in there and you love that woman. You made a promise. So the moment of the most glorious, most powerful love at work on this planet was when? When he hung on a cross. Listen, that was nothing to do with feeling nice. I promise you that. It was an act of love that we could be together today. Love your wife. Wives, love your husband. But he makes me mad. I know. Just hit him with a pillow and then love him. All right? I'm not talking about a feeling. You're talking about something you are in his life. So the Savior dies. Number one. Good lovers, I'm playing with my words, make love a verb. You married, you stay married. I'm not going to go in every possible extreme tonight, all right? Obviously, the man is hitting you, he's cheating on you, he's hurting you and the kids. I'm just saying it right now. I'm not going to go to the outsides. You handle it, you get to your small group leader and you talk about that. Apart from that, stay in your marriage. You love him. And you love her. You see those old people together? And they're gray and they're still in love. Let me tell you what, they did not get there by feelings. They got there by walking a hard road. I promise you there was many trials, many tribulations. I haven't walked that road, but I know it's there. They loved one another as a verb. Carried one another. Number one, good lovers make love a verb. Does that make sense? So here's a cool thing. It takes maturity to see this happen because what you will experience is you'll have a rough week, she'll have a rough week. I'm talking a lot about marriage today, singles. You need to take this and apply it. You need to transpose it to yourself where you are right now, okay? You talk about the real deal and you need to see where you are at and work with your heart from that place. Amen? You'll have a terrible week. She'll have a terrible week. You feel what you need right now is love. And she feels what she needs right now is love. Is love. Someone needs to start. Someone needs to move beyond feelings, getting down to love as a verb. Make sense? That starts the flame in that marriage again. When you see this, I don't know if you've seen this where a couple, sometimes you see this in action and I think it's so amazing and I feel so bad because I see how bad I am at this. You see a couple where the one is just trying to outlove the other one or outserve or out-respect, I don't know, but you get what I'm saying. If you see it, you see power. You're like, that's what I want. That's what I want. And that's what Scripture tells us is possible when both says, I'm going to love the verb one. Amen? And we see it in Scripture right here. It's talking about Jesus here in Philippians, and it says, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He took the form of a servant. He was a king, still is today. He took the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself. He committed himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is love in action. He's our greatest example. It's a great example to look to. Oprah, Jesus, yes. Amen. Just because you have many charities doesn't mean you know what love is. That counts for every person. Amen. Let's go on. I'm taking you to a situation, just to an evening before Jesus got crucified. He's with his disciples and they're eating together. Let's just read that scripture. John 13 verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart. Now, that's not a great hour that was upon him. Just a few moments later, he prayed, Father, if it's at all possible, if there's another way, if there's another path for us to be united with mankind, please take this hour away and we can go another route. And the Father obviously answered him and he said, Father, not my will, your will. That's the hour that was upon him. He knew it was there. And during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Number one, his darkest hour is upon him. Most pain a human would ever feel, but not just physical pain. Father turning away. And one of his friends will betray him to death. Same evening. He knows this is upon him right now. This is what he do. This is what he does. The next, very next verse. Well, not the very next verse. Three verses later. He says, Scripture says, then he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now this is a rich text with many layers, and I'm sure it wasn't written for Relationship Month only. All right. But let me tell you what, amongst other things, it teaches us a very, very important lesson here. Jesus, in the moment, being under tremendous amount of pressure, loves by getting low and starting to serve and wash. This is what he did. This was an act of love. I am washing your feet. Most pressure a man could ever felt with a friend betraying him. What did he do? Started to love. Verb. I'm washing your feet. I'm caring for you right now. I'm making sure your feet are clean. I'm teaching you something here in this very hard moment. And here's the thing that's very important. Lovers that can love in a time of personal need will excel in their marriage. If both can do it. So if you are single, be very prayerful before God as you pray. It's not a joke. A lover that can love when they are under pressure can love their marriage through the darkest valleys. It's moments when you need love. It's moments when you need care. Someone needs to worry about you. Someone needs to wash your feet right now and just put their hands on your shoulders. But you get down and wash the feet. If two people can do this, this is extremely hard. But I believe that Bible-believing Christians can get to this place. It is at those times when your marriage experiences the most pressure, the cracks are just coming in. You standing on what you deserve and she standing on what she deserves. And if one does not get on their knees and start to wash, the marriage will be over. And so he shows us. Good lovers love in times of personal distress. a marriage, a relationship like this can survive every type of obstacle, every type of sickness, death in a family, financial distress. If this thing is present, you will kill every Goliath, the two of you together. Amen? This is what good lovers do. They love, they give love in times when they need it. And God is faithful. He rewards the humble. Amen? Maybe you're at a time when you're not talking to one another and she's mad at you and you're mad at her. But here's the thing. Just get on your knees and start to love, because her heart will turn as well. Amen? I've got a very great video clip I want to show you for our third point. It's actually from that CD I mentioned in the beginning. So I want actually to show it to you guys, and we'll take it from there. Can we fly that, please?
Our heart isn't always in great shape. In fact, there is stuff in us as a result of previous relationships, just as a result of life and culture, and we bring that stuff into the relationship. Now, I want to try to illustrate for you exactly what that looks like. And to do that, I have a couple of friends here. This is Mr. and Mrs. Mug, okay? So say, hey, this is Mr. Mug, and hey, this is Mrs. Mug. Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Mug. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Mug met right after college, and like many people, when they, you know, he saw her and said, I got, you know, and she's like, woo, you know, and he had a degree and a future, and she was, you know, look at her. I mean, she's a knockout, so she's, all that's working for her. And so they started dating, and you know, when they first started dating and hanging out, they were so careful. Because he's trying to win her heart, and she's trying to win his affection, and, you know, it's just, they were just so careful. And they had a few little problems along the way, and there were a couple of bumps in the relationship, but they were just so careful, and everything was going to be great. And then they got married. And then about a month into their marriage, they had a problem, had a bump. And stuff came out. And he looked at her and said, whoa, where did all that come from? And she looked at him and said, well, I didn't know you had anger issues. And he said, well, I didn't have anger issues till you bumped me. Oh, there it is again. And then they had another problem, and they just were so, and she went to see her sister, and she said, I didn't know he was like that. And he went to see, you know, we don't know where guys go. They don't go anywhere, you know. He looked in the mirror, perhaps. I don't know. And he sat around thinking, wow, she makes me so mad. She makes me so mad. Whenever she brings that up, I just get mad. And if she would quit bumping me like that, then I wouldn't be so mad. My wife, you know, she has issues. And so he says to her, he says, you know, when we were dating, I didn't see all this. Where's all that coming from? She says, well, every time we get in an argument, you make me act that way. Now, it's been entertaining so far, even if you haven't learned anything, right? Now, here's what I want you to see. Mr. Mug thinks the reason the blue beads come out of him is because they keep having conflicts and she keeps bumping him. And Mrs. Mug thinks the pink beads keep coming out of her because he keeps, you know, they keep having problems and he keeps bumping her. But here's the truth. The reason blue beads come out of Mr. Mug is because that's what's in there. And the reason the pink beads come out of, you writing this down? The reason the pink beads come out of Mrs. Mug is because that's what's in there. Now, this is important. All of us have stuff in us. And you don't know what's in you until you get bumped. And most of us don't get our first real big, hard, you know, gut-wrenching bump until we get into a romantic relationship that we're committed to. And there's something about romance, and there's something about the permanence of I'm committed to you and you're committed to me and we're living together, moving in together, or married together. There's something about that that brings out the best and it brings out the worst. And most people don't know really what's going on in there until they get into a relationship they're committed to and they say, you're the one for me and I'm the one for you. Oh my goodness, what in the world was all of that? And this is why people who make the ultimate commitment to each other end up madder at each other than anyone else on the planet. And he is absolutely sure that the reason the blue beads come out is because she gets on his nerves and she keeps saying that thing and she keeps doing that thing. But the truth is the blue beads come out because they're in there. And she's absolutely sure if he would stop and if he would start and if he would quit and if he would more of and if he would less of and if he would be careful, the pink beads would quit coming out. But the reason they come out is because that's what's in there.
Awesome.
And all of us have.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, so you're wondering what's the point. Number three. Good lovers love by growing personally. Simple as that. Good lovers are committed to growing themselves. They're quite aware of themselves. It's an interesting bunch of people, this. You love being around them. People with this type of skill takes a bit of a humility. But do you know you have friends like this that they'll come to you and you wouldn't really remember that you had an argument, and they would come to you and they'd say, you know what, yesterday when we spoke, I said something and it might have come across a bit harsh. Who's got friends like that? The best, just keep them, right? Because they are practicing what we're talking about here. They want to grow. They want to be aware of how they communicate and how they come across, and they would come back to you and say, I'm so sorry. And in marriage, this is amazing. Because after that bit of a, you know, difficult, the air is ice in the house, and you're mad at her and she's not really talking to you. And then one comes to the other one and says, you know what? I was thinking about what happened earlier today and I realized there's something that I struggle with right there, making themselves vulnerable. Now, at that moment, you are making yourself very vulnerable before your wife, and she could say, yeah, you're right, you are struggling with that. You should sort that out. That is the danger, but it's a risk you have to take. I realized I really, when I grew up, they used to call my dad that, and then it became my nickname, and when people, you know, just touch around that area, I need to deal with that. This is very hard. This is probably, depending on who you are, but maybe the hardest one of the three so far. Being willing to grow yourself and just at the moment when there's conflict, you say, well, I'm not going to fight right now to win this argument. I saw that something came up in me. And if I just bring this before the Holy Spirit, I can actually grow, and that means we can grow. This is very difficult, but this is possible by the grace of God. Amen? This is a very cool scripture. We often use it with relationship months because it's very applicable. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. That's what the writer says in Proverbs. Pro means spreker, okay? Okay. And it leads what this verse teaches us is, be aware of your heart. Be aware of where's the limit. You know, if it's your heart and you have to keep it and you need to know what's going on there, where's the limits and vasi krakies? And what is the point on your heart when someone presses it and it makes you mad and you don't want to talk? Some of us fight with words and some of us fight with silence. I don't know which one you prefer. The silent part is hard for me. Right, but here's the thing: why am I being? What was the button that was pushed? So if you can keep your heart, become a champion of your heart, be very open. So Lord, help me to understand my heart. Then you can do this. You can grow. Number three, lovers love by growing personally. Very hard. Takes a lot of humility. Are you with me? Let's go to the last one. And Isaiah writes, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Talking about Jesus, he quotes this and he says, the Spirit is upon me. And then he ascends and he says, I give you the Spirit. Now the Spirit's upon you. And this is the help we get from heaven. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, to make wise decisions, but also to understand the current circumstances. There's counsel from God. And so, in my relationship, the second one we had when we came together again, when we both had the Advocate, the Holy Spirit with us, often what would happen is we would fight, like humans often do, and I'd say, I'm going to go for a walk, I'm just going to cool down. And I would come back and say, I'm sorry I was wrong, because the Holy Spirit was counseling me. But just as I want to say, I'm sorry I was wrong, but she would interrupt me and say, no, it was me. Because here's the thing, God is the great intercessor. He goes between you and your wife. This is also true for other relationships, if you're open. But we're talking here about romantic relationships. And here's the thing, if God is in your relationship, you've got a lot less work. Because sometimes you don't want to listen to your wife, but listen to him. He's going to help you. And so then often I would come home and I'd say, yes, I was wrong. She'd say, no, it was me. And then we're at that place where the one is trying to outlove the other one. That's where you want to be. The last point I want to make is, good lovers love others when they worship. When you get to a place where you worship God in your inner room, He will help you with your relationship. But be ready, because He will be honest. He will tell you you were wrong. So go and tell that person, I'm sorry, this is a mistake I made. I should not express myself this way. If you have a daily time with God, if you and your husband or you and your wife both have one time in a day where you sit at the feet of God, you've got 80% of your trouble sorted. He is faithful and He helps. He helps you with your heart. Did you know that? So just a piece of advice for the singles in the house. Is He a worshiper? Start there. Some of these other things you can try and act, you can try and fabricate it, but this you can't. You worship God with your whole heart. It's something He must grow in. And you see it in church. You see Him. Is He broken before God? Does He love Him? Is He faithful? Often, if I use this a lot as an example, this is the bride of Christ. You know, you're part of the bride of Christ. You're part of a romantic story, whether you actually are married or not. Do you know that? Because when He comes back, it's going to be like a marriage, the best one, right? So you're already part of a romantic story. But here's the thing. A man or a woman that's faithful towards the bride of Christ will also be faithful towards you in marriage. That's true. I always joke with a setup I know. These are the guys who work when no one is watching. And I'm not even joking, but just watch them in the relationships over the years. Faithful as can be. Because they do it when no one is seeing. So, guard your heart. If you are single, pray, Lord, help me, guide me. Lots of guys has got nice hair and like an attitude, not many worshippers. Go for the worshipper. 60 years later, he'll still love you as a verb. Care for you. Amen? So is it possible to stay in love? We go to the last slide. I believe it is. I believe that those who love the verb will always experience more love in their relationship. I believe it with all my heart. Does Jesus feel His love for us? Does He experience it? I believe so with all my heart. And then He lays His life down. Comes to die for us. I believe you can have both. So don't despise being in love. Some people say, oh, they're just in love, they'll get over it. They don't have to get over it. You can have that amazing feeling. I still feel that way about my wife. My heart gets warm. We're 7 years married. I've been together going for 50 years. But I still feel it, the warmth, the excitement of having her in my life. But you need both. Amen? Let's stand up tonight.